And we welcome you in to a Wednesday midweek edition of My Car Guru with the car guru himself, Lenny Lawson. And Lenny, everybody is wondering, it's buzzing, people are just so curious, the thousands and thousands of folks that are listening to us right now, just wondering how the auction for the 32 Ford Hot Rod went yesterday.
Well, it was probably the most amazing auction that I've seen on Bring a Trailer, in my experience, just on the many cars that I've run through there. You know, as I was talking about yesterday, this was a vehicle that it's a 32 Ford Hot Rod, but there was nothing really 1932 about it. The body was made out of fiberglass by a company in Middle Tennessee. Mm-hmm. I think it's in Crossville or Cookville is where Bebop is. That's who makes the fiberglass bodies. And the rest of it was, you know, it's a Ford 302 that's been bored out to 347 cubic inches. It is open on the engine is open and exposed on both sides. Of course, it has a hood. It has a top, but the sides are exposed. You know, it's got big fenders and, you know, just like a 32 Ford would, convertible top that's removable. And, you know, I took it in on trade. Been probably not quite a year ago that I took it in on trade on a 62 Corvette. And when we got the vehicle, it had some issues. I paid the guy $32,000 for the car, not knowing. It was pretty much a gut feel as far as what it was worth. You know, Tim, you and I have talked about, you know, what is a car worth, or what is anything worth for that matter, and you know, we have said over and over that it's worth what somebody is willing to pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's still pretty nebulous, isn't it? I mean, there's just no book that you can go to, even on a modern car today. You could have five different dealers, and they won't be within $1,000 of one another.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the things that makes it difficult. But anyway, this car, I put it on the Bring a Trailer auction, which is a website, bringatrailer.com. And Tim, the first bid on that car was $10,000. And the second bid was $30,000. That was very unusual. Normally you see them step up the bidding. And so for 7 days, there was a lot of people making comments about the vehicle and asking questions. And I had this one guy, and his call name was J-A-D-O-Z-Z-O, Jadozo. Well, that stands, I know his last name is Dozo. That's
mm-hmm.
his last name.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, he was sending me emails and asking me a lot of questions about the vehicle, which I was responding. First question was, does it have seat belts? And it does not. The second question, does it have power steering? And I incorrectly said that it did, because I thought it did. When I drove it was very easy to steer, so I just assumed it. But then once I made a phone call down to my shop, I said, does that 32 have power steering? And they went and looked, and there's no power steering pump, so the answer is no.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had to go back on the website, and I had to put that in there, that no, it does not have power steering. And then it pretty much stayed at 30,000 until about 357. I'm looking at the actual bids here. And a guy bumped it to 30,250. That was the first bid after it had been there all week.
Mm-hmm.
Tim, it went from at 418, the next bid was 32,000, and it kept going until 456. The clock kept resetting on it, because when it gets to the last 2 minutes of the auction, anybody bidding in the last 2 minutes, it automatically resets the clock to 2 minutes. It's one of the things that I really love about this auction site. At 454, the final bid was 47,500.
Wow. And did you have a reserve? That's what I was going to ask you. What was your reserve on it?
My reserve was 36,000.
Okay.
So that is the minimum. You know, that's what I said. Okay, if it hits 36,000, it's sold. It went to 47,500. And obviously I was very pleased with that.
Mm-hmm.
But does that mean the guy overpaid for it? You know, I've always said that it doesn't matter what you have in something, how much you owe on it, what you paid for it, when it comes to value. Because, you know, I could post this watch that I'm wearing, you know, and somebody could, one person to pay $100 for it, another to pay $2,000. You just don't know. And I guess my message to folks is that you put it in a position to win. If you have a car that you're thinking about trading it in on a new car this weekend, let's say, and you're coming down the gateway and you want a new Nissan or whatever, or a new Ford, and you know, you need to put yourself in a position to get the most out of your car that you can. So many people bring their cars in, Tim, and they're nasty. They're dirty. They're not, you know, the first impression isn't good. You know, when you walk up to a car, you're thinking, okay, gosh, these people must not take care of this car. Mm-hmm. You know, I better really look into this. And it can really affect the value. If somebody comes up and, the tires are all clean, the wheels are clean, you know, there's not a bunch of brake dust on the wheels, the vehicle, the interior is vacuumed out, the windows are clean, you know, the stains are out of the seat, you open up the trunk, it's neat and organized. I mean, that can make a difference in the money. And, you know, that's what I do when I, you know, take pictures of these cars. I make sure they're spotless. And I think my videos that I did on this vehicle also really helped sell it. If you're trying to sell an older car, or even a new car for that matter, a late model car, and you want to post it on Facebook Marketplace, or, you know, you want to put it out there, shoot a real quick video. Do a walk-around video of the car. And, you know, and talk about the things that you like about the car. This will help you get more money for it. But $47,500, I mean, it's not like he was the only person bidding on the car, because there were multiple bids from different people. It looked like about five people were bidding on the cars at the end. But this thing had 7,549 views, which means that many people clicked on that car for more details about it, which opened up the information just on that car. And it had 470 people across this country or world or wherever that were watching it. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, did he pay too much? Well, he doesn't think so, obviously. I called the guy after the auction was over. And he lives in Colorado Springs, Colorado. And he says, well, I was waiting for your call. You know, so when if I were to peg him just by listening to his voice, I think he's in his late 60s, early 70s. And, you know, he's just really excited. Now, not only is he paying $47,500 for the car, he had to bring a trailer 5% of that, okay? Mm-hmm. And now he's got to ship that car all the way to Colorado, and that's not going to be cheap. I would estimate probably $1,500,
yeah,
you know, to get the car shipped across. So he's going to be well over $50,000 when it's all said and done. But, you know, this is what he wanted, and this is not his first rodeo. I mean, he's bought and sold a number of cars on Bring a Trailer, and he's a car collector, car lover, and he just always wanted a 32. And, you know, it didn't bother him that it was a fiberglass body. If this had not been a fiberglass body, Tim, if it had been an original steel body hot rod, it would probably have brought $20,000 more.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been up there in the $60,000, $70,000 range. It was that good of a car. But it was a Chihuahua market. It was a great experience, and a lot of these turn out this way. Sometimes they don't. I've had cars on this auction site that never meet the reserve, and you just don't know. I wasn't sure. I really thought this car was going to bring in the mid to high 30s. I had no idea it would push $10,000 more than that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, just like I say, if you want to sell something, I mean, you can. There's a lot of different places to go. I was talking to a guy that had a bunch of parts he needed to sell. You know, everybody has a garage, and sometimes there's more stuff in there that needs to be. And this particular guy had four stalls and a lot of car parts. And he said, how in the world do I get rid of these parts? And I said, man, you have no idea how easy it is. If they are in demand, all you have to do is take pictures of them and put them on eBay, and they will sell. You know, you've got eBay. You've got eBay Motors, which is the automotive side of it. We've got Facebook Marketplace. If you have a Volkswagen or a Porsche, you have the Samba, S-A-M-B-A, which is a great clearinghouse for that kind of stuff. Haggerty's, you've got Hemmings. All of these are different companies that, you know, it's a marketplace for your stuff. And it's just amazing, Tim, how much that stuff is worth. I mean, you're a picker, right? I mean, you go into people's garages and go to different places. And have you ever made an offer to somebody for something and they say, really? It's worth that much?
Yeah. It doesn't happen as much as it maybe used to, because people are a lot more informed about that stuff than It used to be that you could go to yard sales and sometimes find treasures, and people had no idea what they had. But that's getting very, very scarce nowadays. But there's been a couple of occasions where I've, especially in the earlier days when we were doing it, that I would offer somebody something and they'd say, "You're kidding me," and I'd say, "No," you know, and I'd tell them, I'd say, "I'm not going to lowball you at all. I'm just telling you what I would pay for it and what I think it's worth."
Yeah.
So
you just don't know. I'll tell you right after the break. I'll tell you a story that happened to my brother on a car that he should have bought that he passed on. And it was about 20 years ago this time of year. He had an opportunity with a friend to buy a very valuable car, and back then it really, the numbers weren't that high. But today it's something else. So we'll talk about that right after this break.
Back here on a Wednesday morning edition of My Car Guru, and about a year and a half ago, Lenny, we went to Colorado and out west, and we were in Colorado Springs for a day, and I just really thought that was a beautiful place. I have this image of that 32 Ford hot rod tooling around Colorado Springs now.
Yeah. I've got a cousin, a very close cousin, that lives just north of Denver, between Denver and Boulder. It's a town called Westminster.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, those towns just kind of run one into the other as you drive through there. But it is a beautiful area. I've never been to Colorado Springs. Isn't that where the Air Force Academy is as well?
It is. You're right before you get right into Colorado Springs on the highway there, you look over to the right and you see the sprawling Air Force Academy. You know, the campus kind of sits right up against the mountain there. It's really something. But, yeah, Colorado Springs is just, I was a lot more impressed with it than I was Denver, to be honest with you. And it's just a great place. And we even bought a few things there in Colorado Springs and brought back. But I can just picture that 32 Ford zipping around Colorado Springs.
Well, he's excited about it. It's a really sweet ride. I had a couple guys that were bidding on it, and this guy sent me a message that said, "I'm 6'3". Am I going to fit in that thing?" And I said, "Well, I'm 6'3", and like right in my line of sight is the top of the windshield."
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, now my head is probably extending above the windshield, which means that I'm probably going to catch some bugs on my forehead. But it depends on how fast I'm driving. But with the top on, it has kind of this lowered convertible top. It's just a removable top. It really doesn't fold up. And when that top is up, my head is firmly pressed against the fabric, which is not comfortable. So, you know, I was honest with him. I said, "Listen, that's just, I mean, if you don't mind scooching down to drive it with the top up, but really, how often do you drive a car like this with the top up?" So, anyway, that was my point that I made to this gentleman. Now, several years ago, Tim, my brother and a friend were looking in Hemmings Motor News, which that you could buy it at the bookstore and places like that. It's very thick, like a classified ad for antique automobiles and parts and stuff. And they came across this Corvette that was for sale, and it was an L88. Now, the L88 was a limited production. It was built in 1969. They did have them in 67, 68, 69. But this was a car that Chevrolet, they only made like... it's a very small number. I can't remember the exact number, but I think it was under 500. And some of these cars just went straight to the racetrack. And this particular car that was in Hemmings had done just that. And it had raced at Sebring, and it had raced at the 24 hours at Daytona. And the final race that it raced in, Tim, was a biggie, Le Mans. Mm-hmm. It had actually raced at Le Mans.
Mm.
And this is just a Corvette, you know, the Stingray body style, which came out in 68. This was a 69 body, and it had that hot engine, but it had been completely, you know, they put a roll cage in it, all the different things that you had to do to prep a car for endurance racing, which is what, you know, the 24-hour race at Le Mans, I mean, you got to get the same car has to last 24 hours. Of course, you get to change tires, and occasionally they change brake pads and stuff like that, but usually it's just tires and gas, and that's about all you can do. But anyway, this car raced there, and so it was available. It had been brought back to Florida. It was sitting in a warehouse down there, and they could buy that car for around $32,000. And I remember, never forget my brother calling me about that. Of course, I'm the one in the car business. He's a cardiologist. I guess they both start with car, right?
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, he called me. He said, "What do you think?" I said, "Well, Wendell, I mean, that's a lot of money for a 69 Corvette." He said, "But it's really rare." Now, we would have to restore it. And I said, well, how much would that cost? And he said, probably $30,000. So he was going to have $60,000 in a 1969 Corvette, and that was 20-some years ago. And, you know, you could buy a 69 Corvette for $2,500, you know, depending on miles and stuff. So I said, whatever you want to do, I mean, it's up to you guys if you feel like it'll go up in value. So what did they do? They passed on it. And fast forward, so 2 years ago, we were at the Concours d'Elegance at Amelia Island, which is a big car show. And they were featuring L88 Corvette race cars that had racing history. And so we're walking down through there, and Wendell sees this car, and it is restored to the exact livery that it would have been had he restored it. He said, oh, my gosh, there's our car. We checked the numbers and everything, and it was that car.
Mm.
That car, we did a little bit more research. That car had sold at auction him for $1.3
million. Oh, my goodness.
So it just shows you, you know, what some of this stuff is doing. Cars right now, you know, Porsches are really hot. Somebody has an older 911, you know, something from the 60s. The 911 came out in 65. And so anything later than that, especially if it's a 911S, those cars 20 years ago were bringing 30,000. Now they're in the high 100s, closing in on 200,000 for a restored 911S. If it's a really rare car, it could be worth $1 million, you know, just a rare production number car. Volkswagens are really starting to go up. Not Volkswagens from the 70s. Now, if you have an old Super Beetle, I'm sorry, it's not going to be worth much. But if you have something from the early 60s or the 50s, those cars have doubled in value in the last year. I think maybe the Porsche is kind of pulling the Volkswagen market a little bit. Carmen Ghias and stuff are starting to go up. Unfortunately, Tim, cars from big American cars from the 50s that used to be really popular, like 55 Chevys, 57 Chevys, you know, maybe a 56 Crown Vic, those kind of cars are going the opposite direction. They had a big peak, you know, about 20 years ago, and then they just started tailing off. And I think that has to do with the generational changes. You know, as people get older, you know, they like to collect things that they grew up with. And you know, the kids today, I mean, baby boomers were the collectors of those cars, and now you've got the younger crowd, and they're interested in even Japanese cars. I think they have really lit up the Porsche market. But you really just don't know, you know, what something's going to be worth. If you've got an old original car, the only way to get good money out of a car, Tim, was to restore it, you know, spend a bunch of money. But cars that are original paint, even if the paint doesn't look good, if it's a fairly rare car, you know, especially if it's a high-performance car, then those are bucking the trend and really going up in value.
Mm-hmm.
So originality, you know, hot rods it's kind of a finicky market. You know, you see a lot of these people doing rat rods. You know what a rat rod is. It just looks really rusty, and
mm-hmm.
I mean, it's completely new powertrain and everything. But those cars, they can get pretty expensive, very expensive to do, but they really have a flat curve. They're not really going to appreciate in value, I don't think. So, you know, you got to be careful. You never really know, like I say, what something's worth until, you know, see what somebody's willing to pay for it. But I'm real happy for Mr. Joseph out in Mr. Joseph Dozo out in Colorado Springs, and I'm excited for him to get the vehicle. I told him it didn't have seat belts, but he said, would you mind putting seat belts in it for me? I said, no, not a problem. I'll take care of that.
Yeah.
So it will have seat belts when it hits Colorado Springs.
Very nice. All right, we'll take our last break, and we'll come back and wrap things up. Back here for the final minute or so of My Car Guru on a Wednesday morning with Lenny Lawson.
Speaking of brands, there's a lot of brands of cars. All the General Motors brands, a lot of Fords, a lot of Hondas and Toyotas and Nissans. There's going to be a supply problem, and it's related to this semiconductor shortage, Tim.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the market recovered and did better than a lot of people predicted, and a lot of the suppliers who make these semiconductors, which, I mean, they operate just about anything, everything in the car, you know, from the infotainment system to the power steering to so many other things are somewhat reliant upon a semiconductor. And it's just a chip, a computer chip.
Mm-hmm.
And the shortage is causing a lot of different plants to close. General Motors has closed 5 different plants this week because they don't have enough semiconductors to produce the product. So you will see some supply issues, and that could affect pricing. You know, as the supply goes down sometimes and the demand is up there, the prices go up. You could see smaller incentives on some vehicles coming up. So anyway, if you're in the market for a car, you're in the market. I mean, it doesn't really matter, but you know, if you go in to try to get a particular vehicle, it just may not be available because, and that's the reason. It's not because the dealer or the manufacturer doesn't want to make them or sell them. It's that they can't get them, Tim. That's just the way it is.
Just the way it is. A lot of factors figuring into
that.
Yes,
sir.
All right, that'll do it for My Car Guru for Wednesday morning, and we'll talk to you tomorrow, Lenny.